Let us pray as we stand. The last words of that song. My soul bless the Lord for his mercies. Oh, bless him yet more every day. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the Lord Jesus Christ. Please help us to be even more thankful as we look at your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. What do you worry about? What is it that keeps you awake at night and that occupies your mind? What makes you anxious? Well, one thing guaranteed to make any Londoner anxious is the Underground. Will I get a seat? Will it be running? Will I survive the ordeal? Now, I don't take the tube very often, but the last time I was there, an advert ran like this. It said, 1 in 5 suffer from anxiety. Take Calm's lavender tablets to remove your worry. Lavender tablets, is that the solution? Well, we all have different worries, but I wonder if anyone was anxious about last week's sermon. Now, not because an errand caught you yawning during the sermon, but because of what Jesus said, his investment advice. Do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth, but lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. Well, if we lived wholeheartedly like this, how on earth could we survive life on this earth? Surely we need some earthly treasure. Well, let's read today's passage to see Jesus' solution to our anxiety, to our worries. We're going to be reading Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25 to 34. So if you take hold of one of the church Bibles at the end of the row, we're on page 979. That's page 979, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So do please keep those Bibles open so you can follow along with what I'm saying today. And there's an outline of where we're heading in the service sheet. Our first point, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. And it doesn't really take much effort to see that's what Jesus is saying. Have a look at the passage, starting there at verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious. Down the column to verse 31. Therefore do not be anxious. And again in verse 34. Therefore do not be anxious. So Jesus clearly expects his hearers to have become anxious because of possibly what he's just said. If they've properly understood Jesus' teaching, and if they've considered the cost of wholeheartedly following Jesus, then some of them will have become anxious. So Jesus wants to tell them and us straight away, do not be anxious. Have a look at verse 25 where Jesus starts his anti-anxiety teaching. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Have a look at the things that Jesus says not to be anxious about. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on. Food, drink, and clothing. The things without which you will go cold and hungry. The very basics of life. Well, is it that these are just the concerns of Jesus' first century hearers? And, you know, we today in our developed world need not worry about food day by day. Well, no. What I think Jesus is doing here is deliberately choosing the bare essentials to make his point. He says, don't even be anxious about the fundamentals of life. Surely if there's anything worth being anxious about is where our next meal is coming from, or whether we have clothes on our back and a roof over our head. Well, Jesus says, don't even be anxious about these things. How can Jesus say that? Well, he goes on to explain in verse 26. Have a look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus chooses two brilliant illustrations to show why we don't need to be anxious. They both show us that we don't need to be anxious because we have a heavenly Father. First illustration, look at the birds. The Walthamstow Wetlands recently opened near where I live, and they're Europe's largest urban wetland. And they've drawn crowds of families eager for fresh air and a new army of bird watchers. Have a look at the geese that migrate there every year. They don't cultivate their own food, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Don't be anxious about what you will eat. You have a heavenly Father who loves you. Well, next up, consider the lilies. They're beautiful flowers. Any bunch of lilies will fill your home with fragrance and beauty. But give it a week and they'll be in the bin. Don't be anxious about clothing. If God clothes these plants with more splendor than royalty, which are alive today and tomorrow are dead, will he not much more clothe you? How incredible is that? That we have God Almighty as our heavenly Father. Jesus has been explaining to his hearers throughout the Sermon on the Mount what it means to have God as Father. But most famously, you remember the opening lines of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven. How staggering that we have God as our heavenly Father. So don't be anxious. You have a heavenly Father. You know, I've been asking around this week about what makes people anxious, and I've had answers from the trivial to the terrifying. And according to one website, it listed the top reasons for worry, and you could kind of go through them and roughly separate them into two categories: financial concerns, debt, job, bank balance, mortgage, or bodily concerns, diet, physical health, growing old. Interestingly, the health of people's pets ranked higher than the health of their children. Who knows? But I wonder what makes you worry. There may be some in London for whom the daily basics are a matter of concern. Well, Jesus says, do not be anxious. But for us gathered here this morning, there might be innumerable other reasons for us to worry. Well, how much less reason is there to be anxious if Jesus says, don't even be anxious about the very basics? Whether it's the play home, new home, care home, or funeral home, Jesus says, don't be anxious. But remember, this passage really is the application of Jesus' investment advice. Look what he's just said in verse 24. Just look up the column, the end of verse 24. You cannot serve God and money. if we're living wholeheartedly for God and investing in heavenly things, well, Jesus said we need not worry about earthly things. You know, this truth really came home to me personally while I had to make a decision to leave full-time paid work to train in Bible teaching ministry. I left my job as a structural engineer the week my first daughter was born. Well, we had reason to worry about food and clothing, particularly for a newborn. But wonderfully, we have a Heavenly Father who provided all that we need. And I only wish I'd listened to Jesus' advice in Matthew 6 beforehand to save a lot of anxious evenings. Well, I wonder what it is for you today that is causing you to be anxious. And more so, as you live wholeheartedly for Jesus, what will cause you to worry? Will I lose my job as I speak of Jesus in the workplace? Will I lose my friends if I speak up for Jesus in school or university? Will I lose out on my pension if I invest in heavenly treasure now? Well, what will people think of me if I don't meet the living standards they expect of me? Well, Jesus says, don't be anxious. You have a heavenly Father. Well, I wonder if you're thinking there, well, that all sounds great, but what am I to do now? Am I just kind of to sit back and let God do everything? Well, Jesus goes on to say that instead of being anxious, we should seek the right things. Don't seek earthly things. Instead, seek the things of God. Our second point today, seek the things of God. In verse 31, Jesus starts by underlining all that he's just said. But have a look down and see how Jesus then encourages us to seek the right things. So from verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So Jesus is saying, don't seek after food, drink, and clothing. The Gentiles, that is, those who aren't God's people, the pagans, seek after these things. And doesn't that just describe our world? You know, I work here in the City of London, and every day I see tens of thousands of people getting their heads down, working hard, going about seeking these things. Seeking ever more elaborate food in the street markets. Seeking more drink, more expensive clothing. And, well, how easy is it for us, too, to get drawn into that? Seeking after things in this world. As soon as we forget that we have a Heavenly Father, we start seeking earthly treasures. You don't need to seek them, because your Heavenly Father already knows what you need. The alternative there is outlined for us in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This has been a bit of a building theme throughout the Sermon on the Mount, to seek the things of God above all else, to first and foremost live in obedience to God and what he wants for us, to make God known to those around us for his glory. To seek first the kingdom of God means to focus your whole self, your whole being, on God's kingdom, and chiefly on his King, the Lord Jesus Christ. To make God's concerns your concerns. Just as an example, why don't we flick back to chapter 5 and verse 6, right at the start of the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5 and verse 6. Have a look at these verses. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Food, drink, hunger, thirst. You see, it's the same language being used. But what is the way of blessing? It is to hunger and thirst, or if you would have it, to seek righteousness, to seek God's righteousness. Well, this might all sound quite extreme and all of life consuming. Have a look at the promise at the end of verse 33. Flip back to chapter 6, just over the page. 6 verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. when we busy ourselves with God's concerns, God promises to look after our earthly concerns. Well, sadly today, there are some preachers who say that this means, therefore, God wants our health, wealth, and prosperity. But look carefully again with me at verse 32. It says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. God knows what you need, not what you want or what you think you need, but what is genuinely best for you. You might think that you need a promotion, but God knows that you need a time of humbling. God our Father knows what we need, so it's deeply offensive to expect riches and possessions from him, especially since God has just said you cannot serve God and money. But just because some people twist this for selfish gain, let's not lose the wonder of it. God, our Heavenly Father, will look after us. He will provide all that we need. And this is why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread, those things that we need. Well, praise God that he cares for his children. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So Jesus is saying, seek the right things. Don't seek earthly things, but concern yourself with God's concerns. Seek the things of God. This has been a huge help and a challenge to me personally as I've prepared for today. You know, I'm not by nature an anxious person. So I wrongly thought I had this sorted, that I have no need to hear what Jesus has to say to me. Well, maybe you're the same. As we looked at point one, you're thinking, well, I'm not really worried about anything. As I was asking around this week about what makes people worried, someone responded, I don't worry. That's someone else's job. Well, here's the challenge. Are we seeking the things of God and his righteousness? Or is our lack of worry because we expect someone else to do that for us? Or maybe more so, is it that we have so ordered our lives that we are self-reliant for the basics and not God-reliant? Jesus expected that a wholehearted life serving God and his kingdom would induce anxiety. He doesn't want us to be anxious. But let's just step back for a moment and ask, is this because I'm trusting my Heavenly Father for all that I need? Or am I trusting someone or something else? Parents, spouse, family, bank balance, social welfare, inheritance, reputation. Well, am I wholeheartedly seeking God's kingdom and trusting God to look after me? Or am I really seeking earthly things? Well, no doubt for all of us, this is going to look very different, and we'll each need to think through where we're spending our time, energy, effort, and finances. How is it that we are going about seeking first and foremost the kingdom of God and his righteousness? But as we draw to a close, let's remember the joy of being part of God's kingdom. It's the way of blessing. We are of more value to God than the birds. God can clothe even the lilies. Well, how much more shall he clothe us? We have a loving heavenly Father. Jesus says, don't be anxious. You have a heavenly Father. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Well, as we think through some of the implications of this in our life and all that Jesus is saying to us, I'm sure it will make us all the more prayerful. It's no surprise then when we read the words of the Lord's Prayer. Just look, throw your eyes over the page to 6 and verse 8. Do not be like the Gentiles, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Well, as those who recognize God as their Heavenly Father, the one in whom we have no reason to be anxious, why don't we pray these words together? So 6 verse 9 to 13. Let's pray them together. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.